We're doing all we can with hands behind our back. Still, freedom is all that I demand.
Welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, pay me in the corner and watch me grow class. With survival's at stake, watch morals come undone. Well, jump through your hoops, jump in the fire again. Well, I've been through so much, you'll feel I'm nowhere. Well, escalation hostility is foaming over as we reach these boiling points, big breach. With our coup d'etat is unleashed. Your minimum, your maximum. No finger tickle, 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 daddly dumps. No trash talk, shake hands and walk away.
I love it.
Are you doing all you can to promote freedom?
And if you're not, are you seeing...
Why not?
Yeah, why not? And are you seeing the ramifications of the repercussions of your inactivity?
Relax, just give me breathing room so I can leave my stamp. Well, who's driving this bus? Well, I want off now, cause you are the crook running this scam.
Love it.
We're doing all we can with hands behind our back. Still, freedom is all that I demand. We're doing all we can with hands behind our back. Still, freedom is all that I demand.
Welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. Thank you so much for downloading. Sorry for the delay in uploads. But we are two busy guys, and we live like 6 miles away, but getting together to do these,
it's a
challenge.
It's like parting the Red Sea. It's like almost a miracle for us to be able to get together.
A lot going on.
So welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. We've got an awesome show for you today. Today, we are going to talk politics. We're going to discuss the new supposed presidential elect, Donald J. Trump.
Terrific.
We're going to talk about his platform and what he... Because there's a lot of hearsay. Right now, we got a lot of people that are rioting, and they're saying that he's going to change the face of the nation, and we're going to talk about what his platform is and discuss on whether or not that's going to, in fact, change the face of the nation, whether it's good, whether it's bad, that kind of stuff. Also, we're going to get into the Electoral College, and we're going to talk about how the president's really elected, and there's also a lot of misinformation and disinformation going on around that. And then we're going to talk about a couple of the new propositions that passed in California. We had 64, where marijuana was supposedly legalized, and Proposition 63, which is a stringent ammo registration kind of process, just to sum it up. Nick, what's new, buddy?
Just been really busy. Little projects around the house, fixing things all the time. They always tell you, get a job, buy a house, do that. But when you do that, it's never ending. Never ending trips to Home Depot.
Yep.
Constantly fixing shit.
Right. Do you end up trying to fix every single thing that breaks, or do you end up getting a list together and then just having a whole day where you...
Yeah, I mean, I try to fix them as they come along. It's typically sprinklers with me, stuff like that. We recently did some concrete on the side of the house, like for the RV access type thing. And that was a fun little project. We're still actually working on doing gates and stuff. Other than that, the only thing that's new with me is new experiences in life. I got to run a half marathon with my family.
Animal.
And I never thought that's something I would ever do, but
without training for it.
Nah, just fucking go to Vegas and run that shit, man.
Who needs training?
It's
man?
Vegas.
Training for losers.
Yeah. So that was fun. So I've been sore the past few days, but
yeah. Well,
today I feel a lot better. So this is day three after the marathon, and I'm still sore. But the blisters have like kind of dried up and, you know, calcified or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not limping as much, you know. My thighs are still sore a little bit, but nothing too bad.
Yeah. It's got to be a lot of trauma. That's just a lot of repetition on those joints. Did you, so you were telling me earlier that you started at, it was in Vegas, down the main drag, and it started at Luxor, went towards like Mandalay Bay, went to the Las Vegas sign, flipped around, and then ran all the way to Fremont Street.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, you go through like these neighborhoods, like you go all the way down the strip, which is cool because I was like a lot of bars. That now I want to go back to Vegas just to go to these bars that I got to see because, you know.
That's cool.
You miss it otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
And so saw some cool bars and restaurants that I'd like to check out. But then it's funny because all the intersections of the strip were, you know, policed. There's cops there, this and that. You know, they're like, hey, good job. Go run. But then you make
this
turn.
Was anybody like, fuck the police?
No, not that I had seen. No.
No rioters.
No. That's good. I mean, maybe some of the people that weren't able to get to the hotels and stuff like that, you know.
They were
because the strip was shut down.
Totally shut down. But you said there was like 40,000 runners.
I think it was like 30 to 40,000, yeah. Dang. It was a shitload of people.
That's crazy. It probably came from all over.
Yeah, and Snoop Dogg opened it up with a concert.
Talk about that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like in the runner's world. Like, I'm not a runner. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I'm just like a guy that drinks beer and eats. And I just take a, you know, life as it comes, I just take it. You know, like, I don't know what you call that, an opportunist or whatever.
Yeah.
But my brother, he's like way into fitness and this and that. And he's done marathons before. And so it was his 30th birthday. So we go to Vegas and they're having this fitness, whole fitness, what's a convention and everything, you know? And we checked that out. My brother doesn't even drink the night before. He has like two or three drinks.
Oh, he goes into the run.
Yeah, he's like, dude, you don't want to drink? And I'm going, well, we're in Vegas. We're in fucking Vegas, right?
That's and, why I came here.
Yeah. And it was funny because we get there. The thing opens at 2 o'clock. We get there. And then I think Snoop started about 3 o'clock. And I've always wanted to see Snoop Dogg. Like, oh, this would be amazing to see Snoop Dogg, right? The majority of the people were, I would say, Caucasian. You know, I mean, it was a good mix of people. Don't get me wrong.
Like, there was what I consider like the quintessential
Your typical runner kind of is like a nerd, right? Like nerdy, slinky.
They're just very probably like more like proper people than a
Snoop
Dogg
I think
clientele.
So. If you were going to, I guess, judge them, whatever. But anyways. So I'm standing there, Snoop Dogg's on, he's blazing a spleef, and like he's talking about bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks, and I'm going to open that gap and all that, you know, and I look over next to me, and it's this lady, she's like late 50s, early 60s, and going, oh my, oh
she's
gosh.
Like terrified. Like,
and he's like trying to pump all the runners up, like, you know, yeah, man. And I'm going, most of these people probably don't even listen to Snoop Dogg ever. You know, I'm like, I'm singing along, but I'm looking around and nobody else is digging it. You know,
I'm listening to you, Snoop. You're singing to me.
Yeah, singing along. And, which was funny though, like Snoop's got probably the easiest fucking job in the world. I noticed this. Essentially, if you're going to see a Snoop Dogg concert, I'm sorry if I'm bashing Snoop, all you Snoop lovers, but he basically went up there and sang karaoke, dude.
His songs or other people's songs?
He sang other people's songs, too.
Oh, okay.
If you want to call it singing.
And he doesn't even sing. He just kind of hangs out, right?
He didn't even sing.
Yeah.
His DJ played the song and then goes, yeah, 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 yeah. Like every song. Like he has a breakdown in one of the bridges going, yeah, 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 yeah. Put your hands up! Put your hands up! Put your hands up! Put your hands up! And you know, all you had to do is push play on a computer and yell, "Put your hands up!" I mean, that guy probably makes fucking six figures a year, right?
Yeah,
awesome. And Snoop just sits there and smokes weed and dances. He walks around
for
and
sure.
He goes, "Y'all having fun tonight?" Yeah,
yeah. So he's like the equivalent in that world of like what Paris Hilton is in the socialite world. She gets paid to just go
to show up
to like show up and hang out.
I was that close to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
and I like Snoop Dogg, but it was like, God, this is fucking easy. But the bass was hitting hard. It was bitching. The sound was great. What I thought was funny is, you know, it's all runners, health people, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out after he blazes his first spleef. He, you know, plays, sings a couple more songs, if you want to call it singing songs or just dancing to songs.
Yeah.
And going, yeah, gin and juice, you know, and this and that, you know, you know, and gets another blunt, fucking blunt, dude, a nice one. Blazes that sucker, takes a couple hits off of it.
And I don't imagine him smoking like cheap weed.
No, no.
I'm sure.
I mean, imagine his weed is the best weed you could ever fucking imagine.
And you're sure it was weed? Like you could smell it?
It had to be. It's the fucking Snoop Dogg. Right. But it is a show. It's a show, so it could be fake.
Crazy. That's like a crazy amount of weed to smoke for one person, right?
But he smokes like all day long, you know.
Dude, that's nuts.
But so, anyways,
guy's just living in a world high of
yeah.
fog.
He's super peaceful, the guy. Like towards the end, it was funny. So the second one he blazes up, he takes like two rips off of it, and this thing is pretty huge. It's like a fucking cigar still. It's still a blunt, you know, what I would consider still a blunt. And he passes it down to this young girl, like ready to go run this fucking marathon with her thing. And she's got to be like 19, 20 years old. And I mean, there's no way you could pass it up. She's just like, yeah. Takes a fucking rip or two off of that and passes to her friends. I'm going,
way.
How was that marathon for those people? Like,
you
just smoked Snoop Dogg's weed and you're about to run, I don't know, 26 miles, 13.1 miles. I, you know, blazed as fuck.
Not a good nutritional supplement.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I wish I would have followed her around and seen what her trip was like.
Did you ever see her running?
No, dude, I think she probably passed out and she probably stopped at the first nacho bar and was just, you know.
Got into some philosophical debate with somebody.
Yeah. But what I thought was funny, you know, Snoop talking about bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks and all that. And, you know, I'm sure the feminists really appreciate that. Is at the very end of the show, the very end, he's like, hey, y'all got to smoke weed every day. You know, he goes, and one love. All, we all love each other, man. Everybody, we all cool, you know. Which was a cool message at the end, but like, you were just talking about, I don't love you, hoes. And, you know, you bitches ain't shit. And, you know, kick your ass to the curb. And, yeah, like, I'm going,
for sure.
All right, well, you know, I mean, the music was good. Don't get me wrong. I love that song.
Yeah.
But looking around while he's singing it, I couldn't, I was like, even my brother's like, I don't think most of these people are down with Snoop, you know? And none of these motherfuckers are smoking weed. They're marathon runners, you right. know?
They're like, no, actually, even secondhand, I'm, like, really not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard from a lot of bodybuilders and stuff, smoking weed does help with soreness. So maybe they are smoking after the fact.
Maybe.
You know, you run a marathon and...
Maybe.
Because I know my ass was sore as shit, man.
It creeps me a little bit because I read a book called Red Cocaine by Joseph Douglas. And he goes into, there was like a defector from the Czechoslovakian intelligence agency who he was saying that the Czechoslovakian intelligence agency is controlled, tied to, and controlled by the Soviet Union's intelligence agency, which now it's Russia, but then it was the Soviet Union's intelligence agency. And that the Soviet Union, through the Czech intelligence agency, opened up a bunch of the cartels, the drug cartels in South America and Cuba, and that their goal was to drug the West to make the people so passive that a takeover would be easy. And we know we're being drugged, you know, by at least by our CIA as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I've advocated to end the drug war, you know, for a long time, because I think philosophically it should be legal. However, I don't think the whole nation needs to be getting high, because then the nation's people won't be a strong people, right? Like, yes, everybody should be peaceful, but you can be peaceful without being, like, high out of your...
Yeah, you don't have to be altered to be peaceful.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so at some point, like, that's how the British conquered China, is through the Opium Wars. With they drugged them up, you know? So there is... That does... I think that there's a lot of that kind of play that's going on. Like, people think that Prop 64 passing and is a major win for freedom. And I actually kind of disagree with that. We'll talk about that in some later segments. But so it's weird. The Snoop Dogg, though, he's always kind of advocated smoking a bunch of weed. But now it's funny that he sends mixed messages.
That yeah, I mean, with, you know, unity. It's mostly a unity message, well, which I dig.
How many people have probably shot each other because he was an influence on them back in the day with the gangster shit?
Trying to be gangsters?
Yeah, and he was always talking about shooting people, killing cops, you know?
Well, he did go to court. Like, he got off with the murder.
So, like, really? I mean, have you gone to court for murder? Like, the guy is, it's just his latest gimmick, right? Like, the whole peace thing? He's been showing
up
to, like...
Yeah, I mean, he was doing, like, a reggae album. I haven't heard it, but he was calling himself Snoop Lion, which was, like, a reggae thing. He's going Rastafarian. He had, like, dreadlocks and everything.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, you know, people can change, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
My understanding with Snoop is that he's actually a pretty good family man. Like, he coaches his son's football team. He bought him a bus so they could go around and play football and, you know... I think it's all an act at a certain point. You know, he probably did start off as a gangbanger, mm-hmm. youngster.
And there's bad neighborhood. Was money in it, too.
And then he made money with those first albums, and now it's like, hey, I've made it, you know, he bettered himself.
Yeah. I just like...
Which is good for him. You know, go down and better yourself.
I would say, like, for, like, say you and me doing this podcast, I'm very, like, careful that we don't send out, like, a bad message, like a wrong message. So we've done a lot of study, and even though we don't believe in, like, that government is necessarily, like, a moral thing, we still don't advocate anarchy because we know people could get hurt in that process. Like, you know, like, we're a little more careful with our messages than some of the opportunists. I don't know.
Well, freedom is a responsibility, you know. There's a lot of responsibility, you know. I'm against the drug war as well as you are with anything. Like, fuck it. It's your body. Do what you want, in my mind.
Yeah.
But, of course, you could overdo it, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Like...
Yeah, but I think...
I think it should be legal to commit suicide, technically. But here's the thing. I mean, if you've thought about it and you legit just... don't want to exist anymore. I think it's the saddest thing ever. It's horrible. But who has a higher claim on your life? You or the government, you know? Mm-hmm. You should be able to make that choice. I would say the only exception to that would be if you something is causing you to have some kind of a weird, like, chemical imbalance. It's where your brain's freaking out, because I've seen some dudes on PCP before, and they're freaking out. They're whacking their heads against windows and shit like that. And in those cases, it's like, all right, this dude is completely out of his mind. He shouldn't be able to sign a death certificate for himself. Or,
yeah,
you
not,
know?
Not in that state of mind, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. There is an exception, I think. Like, in the medical industry, you have to be found... in order to make your own decisions, you have to be what's called alert and oriented. So you've got to know your name, your age, your birthday, where you are, and when you exist in time. You got to, you know, like, who, what, where. You got to know these things. And then once you have, like, your faculties about you, you can make your own medical decisions. Like, kind of a test like that with suicide. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I got all this stuff. I'm fine. I really just want to end it for myself. Super sad. But you're actually seeing that kind of thing being popularized. Like, in certain cases, it's becoming allowed now. Like, I think there was a girl in the news a couple years ago, and I think she had, like, a certain kind of cancer. She decided that she wanted to die. And sorry to be hopping all over the place, but do you remember Kevorkian back in the day?
Yeah.
He was a doctor. He felt like he was
chastised for, you know, assisting suicides.
Yeah, and he was like, these people want to die, I'm just helping them.
Yeah, they're going painless and the way they want to go. You know, they had terminal illnesses,
yeah,
and he'd help them out, yeah.
It's interesting. I think, without saying too much about it, I think that it's a talk that we should all have from a freedom point of view. A lot of people have conversations from points of view where of their where they're just getting programmed by the media. So they go, oh, Kevorkian, he's bad. Oh, Kevorkian, horrible, yeah, horrible. He's a monster.
Creepy, yeah.
I don't know, man.
You want to let Terri Schiavo die? You're a dick. You know, it's like, it's her like brain's still like firing synapses in her head somewhere. You know, she's alive. Like,
yeah. And yeah, you know what that synapse is saying? Kill me.
Fucking kill me, please.
My Facebook feed, somebody was saying, now can you believe it? Californians want prostitution to be legal.
Why not?
Well, because they think inside of a certain box that the media has programmed.
That it's immoral.
The
state can sanction morality.
Put it this way. Whether you think it's moral or not, how is that any different than a girl marrying a guy for his money? It's the exact same principle, right?
I'm sorry, ladies out there, but whether... Okay, Matt. You never fucked a chick without taking her on a date, spending a little money on her first, right? A couple times, go see a movie, take her to the restaurant, go see an ice skating show, whatever. And then you get to fuck her, right? It's not just, hi, I'm Matt, and then squish, 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 squish. It's fucking, there's a process involved.
Yeah.
Prostitution just shortens that process. Like, and then, but we don't hang out later. It's also... Someone needs money, and someone else needs to bust a nut.
Well, like if it's two consenting people,
who gives a yeah?
It's now, none of the government's business. I'd put it that far. It's not the government's job to get involved in those kind of
absolutely not.
And then that brings on the conversation of then what is the purpose of government? Why do groups of people collect into a collective and decide to form a government? Well, the only reason to do it is to protect your liberties and your really to protect your liberties. Well, I would put it that way. Your property should be protected. If you guys want to get together and hire a private security firm or make a private security firm that can provide everybody security, even better, rather than have government cops, mm-hmm. say. A lot of the stuff can be done voluntarily, like not voluntarily, but in a free market. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into, I'd like to actually take this podcast in a lot of those directions where we're actually going to get into like economic principles and how when the government makes regulations or gets involved, how it actually screws things up. You get worse service, worse products, like worse quality for way higher prices. But yeah, prostitution, totally not the government's business. Gay marriage, not the government's business, because marriages shouldn't be the government's business.
No.
The only reason that they should exist is to secure the liberties of people. That's the only reason why sane people would form a collective. I mean, I can't think of any other. Can you?
No. I mean, if you don't like... This is what bothers me is like with laws and this and that. Like, we don't like prostitution. It's just going to be illegal. But it never goes away. They never find out the source of prostitution or drug addicts or whatever it is. And it always comes down to trauma as a child, typically.
Okay.
You know, drug addicts... are typically escaping something. That's why they're constantly looking for a new drug, something to escape reality.
Sure.
Depression.
Sure.
Abusive parents, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And same with prostitution. It's like, you don't get a girl whose family was intact, never molested or anything like that, you know, good grades, all that, that just decides to go become a prostitute. It's very rare.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's a chick was out on her own with
it's
nothing
not
else.
It's not really to, a girl yeah. that likes having sex and then decides to make.
There's
money.
Always that one. There's always that case. Hey, she was a valid Victorian. She had her parents were great. You know, they lived in a great neighborhood. You know, she started turning tricks and sucking dicks because that was all she was good. You know, that's she liked it. It was a yeah. hobby at first, and you know, it's never that case. It's always down and out, no family support function at all.
And a lot of times it's like it can be that's you.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it can be a desperate woman, too, like a woman that got pregnant, has a kid, doesn't have any way of...
Dude's gone.
You know, Unfortunately, that sucks. But like back in the like ancient times, being like a widow was a horrible thing, like in society. It didn't look bad on the woman. It was just like, oh, dude, that just seriously wrecked her because she can't work. Because back then, mm-hmm. working involved a lot of physical labor. She can't work. She has to raise the kids. She's screwed. Without some kind of charity device, she is screwed. Like, being a widow was like almost like a death sentence back in the day. Like, the prostitutes, you know, that's a lot of times they'll do it because of that. Yeah, it sucks. This world is a rough place.
Yeah.
But because there's a law, do you want to take that opportunity away from her if she can make, you know, money to feed her kid, you know? It does suck, you know, but what are you going to do? And plus, ultimately, I think it boils down to it's none of the government's business anyways.
And there's a market for it. I mean,
but, yeah, it's like, what did they say?
I just got back from Vegas, and, you know, I guess it's pretty popular there, but yeah, like you said, it's like it's the world's oldest profession, but why? I mean, there's obviously a market for it. There's a demand.
Yeah. And what's funny, too, is when it's illegal, what do people do anyway? They do it anyways. Just do it illegally, and then you end up having to pay for their jailing and make it so that they can't get future jobs and making it so they probably have to be a prostitute the rest of
forever.
Their lives anyways.
Yeah,
exactly. Their resume sucks. A lot of the times, Stefan Molyneux is he has a YouTube channel and a podcast that I really like. He said that whenever government creates war against anything, there is always an equal and opposite force to battle that. Mm-hmm. So like the war on drugs has been a huge failure. A war on terrorism has been a huge failure. War on poverty, huge failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everything the government declares a war on officially, like they're failures.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because there's no money at risk for them. There's no risk to lose your job in the government. You know, it's, oh, we failed. Well, the government's still here, you know, and we don't have a demand to get rid of them or govern ourselves even, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like with the recent election, it's like, who are you going for? Or isn't it a big deal? Oh my God, I can't believe it. And it's like, I could give a fuck less. Right. They don't rule me, you know. I got to pay my taxes, whatever, but if they could go away, I'd still be breathing air. I'd still be eating, whatever, you know?
Yeah. For as long as we keep them in check, right? And they're getting further and further out of check.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there could be, like, conceivably a day where they have enough power to where, you know, what is voted upon can absolutely affect you. They can eventually say, you can't drink a beer. You can't wear that sweatshirt. You know, you can't do a podcast. Like, it will, if we don't get it in check, it will be able to affect our actual real lives. That's why what kills me is, like, these New Age movement people that are like, this is only happening because you guys aren't, like, diving into yourself and making your inner peace happy. Once you make your inner peace happy, then your outer world will manifest that happiness. And I'm like, wake the fuck up. In the real world, we got shit going on, and you're sitting in your room like meditating, and we need help out here, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're being rendered like helpless by this religion. Like, same with like Christians that think a rapture is going to come save them. They think that if the world gets worse and worse and they do nothing about it, they think that Jesus is going to come down and save them from how bad the world's going to get. And it's like, so they do nothing about it. They don't mm-hmm. get involved in politics. They don't try to learn any of this stuff. And they disassociate themselves. And they'll quote a few verses from Jesus, but they're taking it completely out of context. And then they disconnect. And that's a whole, how many millions of, like, good moral people that are doing nothing. They're doing nothing to help. You know, like, some of these ideologies, I think, are absolutely crippling to a population.
Well, my neighbor's a Christian, and they went out and painted a neighborhood, painted a bunch of houses.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So they got that going for them.
Yeah.
Y'all, I like when, was lead-based paint.
When religious people are always like, come to our church. It's not that bad. The music's actually like really good. It's not all like religious-y and stuff.
Dude, it's like, dude, if I
isn't
get
that all
going,
Jesus-y? Yeah, it's
like, if I end up going to a church, church, it'll be like, all right, I'm in a truth-seeking quest, and I want to understand if that being was in fact God, and if that was God, I want to understand how this reality works and how the best way to navigate around it is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go because the songs aren't that corny. You know what I mean? Like, what am
I? It's like almost like real rock and roll. It's almost like real rock and roll. You almost can't tell the difference.
Oh, that's okay.
It's almost like Creed.
What's that, Wednesday night? Okay, let's go.
You gotta go.
Okay.
And there's gonna be girls there, dude. Seriously, I swear.
I know. The reason I think it's so funny is because I grew up in that environment.
Oh, man. God. Yeah.
And, dude, it's you're not exaggerating. That's how it is. And mm-hmm. they're like, okay, the cooler we can get the music to sound, the more it'll attract the secular crowd.
We just
and
gotta be
it's cool.
Not so Christian.
Like, if we can get a Christian pastor with a few tattoos, that'd be kick butt.
And say gosh and darn and crap. Wow, we could push the limits.
Yeah, but you know what, if they're not hurting anybody else, they should be allowed to do it. But yeah, so we're gonna take a little break. When we come back, the first thing we're gonna talk about is Donald Trump's contract with the American voter. Guys, he already signed one half of this, okay? So
it's our turn to sign the rest.
It's about to become a legal document.
Ooh.
All right, lady.
I'm excited about this one.
Yes. See you guys in a few.
Terrific.
I was shaking hands in the face of death in the Amazon. In a trance, trying to catch my breath, but I couldn't run. When it came around, I was on the ground, blood in my mouth. And I realized the whole damn time I've been missing out. Have you seen it all? Have you had enough? It's a jagged pill you've been choking on. You gotta cough it up. Ain't it fun to forget your mind when you ride away? The summertime is only one more breath away. Just one more breath away.
So moving on.
So
America is moving on.
America is moving on. So did you know that Donald Trump drafted a contract with the American voter? He's such a businessman. Oh my God, he's so awesome. This is like so classic. Like everybody voted him in because they're like, dude, he's business savvy. Our economy is in shambles and we got to get a true businessman in there. It's like, okay. Yeah, but our economy's not in shambles because of business stuff. Like our financial system has been taken over by a private banking system. Yeah. And if he's not going to fix that, then he's not
same old.
He's putting in a Band-Aid on an insanguination.
Ooh. I do not want an insanguination.
Hell no. So, this is from D. Trump. What follows is my 100-day action plan to make America great again. It is a contract between myself and the American voter and begins with restoring honesty and accountability and bringing change to Washington. On the first day of my term of office, my administration will immediately pursue the following: 6 measures to clean up the corruption and special interest collusion in Washington, D.C. First, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Well, that's awesome, because you know who gets to vote for a constitutional amendment?
Congress.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right.
Second, some of these things just crack me up. Second, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health. So he wants a hiring freeze on all federal employees. Sounds good enough. I don't know. But, I mean, he would have to fundamentally change a lot of programs that have already passed legislation. And
yeah,
I don't think the executive branch has that power.
No.
Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, 2 existing regulations must be eliminated. How complicated does that get into the system, though?
It sounds great, though. I love it. Like,
sounds great.
For every new law, get rid of a bunch of stupid-ass ones we don't fucking need, right?
Okay, but like, how does that actually functionally work? Which
that's
laws?
What it, this,
which ones
he needs
get rid
to
of?
Like have more paragraphs of how that's going to happen.
It's
like, just like his whole... when
I'm
going to
make it great. It's going to be great.
Trust me.
Awesome.
Just trust me. It'll be great. It'll be awesome.
That's what this is.
Terrific. Like, yeah.
This is like giving us Play-Doh. Like.
It's like a college kid who's sad that Hillary didn't make it. You're getting Play-Doh in puppies.
Like, geez, this stuff. It pisses me off that they think we're this dumb, though. Fourth.
I think we are.
Yeah, we kind of are. Fourth, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government office.
5 years. That's not very long.
Not very long. Yeah, that's just one of those things. I have a better solution as far as lobbyists go. If you don't give government any power, then there's no money for anybody. There would be no advantage for somebody to go lobby them. If Walmart wanted to, say pharma, big pharma,
mm-hmm.
if the pharmaceutical industry wanted to have laws passed, they know they can't because the government doesn't, we haven't granted the government that much power. So they wouldn't have lobbyists go lobby them. That's the way you solve that problem. Take the power away from government.
Yeah, I mean, and then we still subsidize alpaca wool farmers for making military suits, and that technology's been gone a long time ago.
But you can't take the jobs away because it's in the
Yeah.
Yep. It's in the contract. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. That's so crazy.
There's shit like that since World War One. Like, we still subsidize certain businesses because they, you know, they helped with the war effort back then, but they never turned the fucking tap off. They just kept the fucking flow of money running, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fifth, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. Sixth, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Again, all could be solved by just taking the power away from government, restoring constitutional principles, and then the foreign government could lobby us all they want. It doesn't matter because the government doesn't have the power to help them. You know what I mean? You're taking that power away.
Yeah. And dude, so just this last weekend, like we were talking about being in Vegas, driving around, and I was pretty shocked that, you know, he won. I thought for sure Hillary had it in the bag just because we live in California, and it's like, she's, you know, they've been promoting her the whole fucking time.
Well, the
FBI investigations
media,
just shut the fuck down, you know.
All the media and the polls were telling us that Hillary was ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I went to fucking bed going, oh, Hillary's going to win it. Woke up the next morning, put the news on, and was like, oh, okay, whatever. I had my coffee and went to work. But Donald Trump being the president is so fucking hilarious. Like, because being in Vegas, seeing that big Trump hotel and casino, yeah. I'm going, ew, that's fucking creepy and gross. A little creepy and gross. Like, to right. see this.
Yeah.
That's the president of the United States now. He's and he's got this big shiny gold building in the middle of the fucking
that's
Vegas.
It almost did it remind you almost of like some Stalin
shit. Kind of dirty. I kind of felt a little dirty. I was just like,
like this big gold tower looking over you, and now he's the president.
Yeah, I'm just glad I didn't stay there. You know, I thought about going just to see what it looked like in there, but
I haven't thought about that.
It was a little creepy. And yeah, I don't give a shit about the guy or not. You know, hopefully he does a good job. It's going to be the same shit they always do. You know, they never do what they say they're going to do anyway.
For sure.
But gotta say, being in Vegas, seeing that big old shiny Trump Tower right after the elections was a little gross.
Did they have like a light show or anything?
No, it was just it was just out there, you know, looking like it was built in the 90s or whatever. Yeah, you know? But. It creeped me out a little bit.
For sure. I think
not that I'm not a Hillary supporter either way, but, you know, because I'm pretty glad that she didn't make it, to be honest with you, because...
You know, and I hate to decide between them because both of them are just absolutely shitbags, but horrible, but she's a criminal.
But then I guess I thought about it. I was like, because I kept seeing the building out there and I was going, well, I mean... It was probably the same for people who went to Texas Rangers games, you know, when George Bush was president. Like, he's the owner of this team, and you're going to go support a baseball team.
Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Now, obviously, eventually successful people are going to, you know, they're going to own stuff, and they're going to maybe become president. So, that alone isn't crazy. But, yeah, it's just weird because he is America's icon of the... rich douche.
Yeah, and we went to a record store. It was like a pretty cool record store in Vegas, and they had like old used CDs and books and stuff, and right there was his book, like How to Kick Ass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the president right there.
And if the world is going to be looking at different things ideologically, then now they're going to see capitalism being headed by the capitalist face, you know? And so, I actually see really bad things coming up ahead, but you want to read this next segment?
Yeah, man. Excuse me. So we have these 7 actions to protect American workers. Sounds great. We're both American workers. First, he says, I will announce my intention to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 205. Second, I will announce our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
That's would be a good awesome. Thing. See, I think that you could probably get out of Trans-Pacific Partnership because we're not in it yet.
Yeah, like,
so it's easy
down.
To just turn it down. NAFTA, something that is literally entwined with so many facets of our economy, how do you just...
shut it
pull
off.
Pull that
you,
thing
you
out.
Can't.
Even though it's horrible, how do you pull that Band-Aid off, you know, without the bleeding starting? It's so... I heard a lyric on a song a couple months ago, and they said, the bigger the river, the bigger the drought. And I totally love that because it is true. It's like the more that the government gives, then to get back to where we should be, it's going to cause a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, because you're going to be taking jobs away from people, and that always looks like a dickhead move. But we shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean?
Just let the free market fix itself.
Yeah, but it's going
to... NAFTA was kind of a... happened because of unions, in my opinion, because it's like, say you have like Maytag or GE, whatever, and it's like, yeah, well, here I am from Iowa, and I'm the guy that puts the belts on your... dishwasher.
Sure.
Or whatever. No, dishwashers don't have belts, but say your dryer, okay? Your clothing dryer. You like dry clothes, don't you? Well, I should make $120,000 a year to put that belt on there, right?
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's like, well, how much does a fucking dryer cost? And then you got the guy that's like, well, you know the 4 screws in the back that holds the frame onto the body? I'm the guy that screws those in. You know? You like dry clothes, don't you? Yeah. You know,
vote for dry clothes.
Yeah.
Vote for me.
And I think with the unions, it's just like you, the agree, like there's a balance. I think unions create a thing where it's like do less and make more. And everybody wants that. Like, hey, show up, do less and make fucking more, right?
Yep.
But at a certain point, it's
that's kind of the purpose of technology.
What's the market going to pay for this now? Like, nobody thinks about that. Like, yeah. Hey, man, you guys, we're making a decent living now. Maybe not put yourself in so much debt buying the fucking boat and the RV and the financing and everything else. And make a decent wage putting together these dryers or whatever the fuck it is to where people can afford them. The rest of the country can afford them. And we here in Iowa, wherever the fuck country or city you're in, you'll be fine. But then greed. And then it's like, well, nobody's going to buy these because they're too expensive. So now we're going to have to, the company is forced to take it to Mexico, forced to take it to another country to build it, to build the same fucking thing. And with less quality.
Sure.
And then the market still pays for them.
Sure. Oh, and then the market finds that out.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I think that though, so there's two different things, two different principles. There's free trade and there's protectionism. Free trade is where we open up trade freely and say jobs can go across, goods can come across, everything. And what you find with free trade is that the economy that is healthier and the economy that's less healthy always rises in that situation.
Willing to do more for less?
Well, because jobs and money, jobs flow out of the higher economic country to chase lower prices and pay, right? And then those goods go, and because they can be bought cheaper, the better, the stronger economic country is going to prefer those goods because they're produced cheaper. Mm-hmm. Protectionism is where that country that is economically stronger imposes tariffs. They impose taxes on the goods coming in order to make those goods more expensive for its citizens so that you won't have a flood of foreign products into that higher economic country. You got two different principles at work there. I'm personally, it depends on what I think is right or wrong, because I think that generally what would be best for the world is free trade.
Yeah.
What would be better for America or a stronger economy is protectionism.
We got our own rules and our borders, and this is what we're going to do.
And we got to protect our economy because our economy is good, and we can't neutralize ourselves with the world where the world's at. Is if there was free trade all over the world, then it's like erasing all of the boundaries, and all the economies find a level of equilibrium. That is the globalists' like plan, is to do that. So NAFTA was a big push for that. Tariffs keep your country fairly protected from that kind of thing happening. You know, mm-hmm. There's some other things that help that happen also. But it sucks though, because like I'm kind of a world citizen also. Like I don't think that we're any better than people from, you know, Papua New Guinea. We were
lucky
people.
Enough to be born on this chunk of dirt on this spinning rock.
Exactly. Yeah. But
we have nothing to do with the history or anything. Yep.
The only reason I think it's different is because we have a experiment going on here. We have this Bill of Rights and a freedom experiment going on. And if we can get this thing to work, then it should topple all of the other failed socialist regimes in the world. And we could be an example that freedom actually can work. That's the only reason why I think that we should protect our system. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, as far as trading, I mean, there's things that we need, and you know, some countries don't have the resources. Like,
yeah. So we're always down.
I don't know a place in America that makes good coffee. Like, you go to Colombia for that and cocaine.
You're not going to see a whole lot of those countries. If they need those goods, they're not going to impose tariffs on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's
steel. I mean, some countries don't even have ore to make steel and metal, you know.
For sure. They got to buy it. And it sucks for those countries. It, like, really, you're kind of like a blessed country if you have a lot of these resources. America is on probably the pimpedest, most definitely the pimpedest plot of land in the world. Just the way it worked out, that where the freedom experiment was done has resources up the yin yang. Once shale oil and like fracking techniques become economically feasible, we're not even going to be having to rely on anybody for energy.
And if you don't like it, get out.
But as far as waterways, as far as like shipping things inland, America has more inland waterways for shipping stuff than the rest of the world combined, which is crazy because shipping things on water is like 50 times cheaper than shipping things on land. It is the cheapest way.
Yeah, all you do is fucking float and get a current. And
you don't have to build a rail system or a road system or anything. So the fact that we're set up with all these resources and to ship everything in and out is just this crazy like setup that we have. But you can always fuck it up if your government just simply does not allow, you know, like goods to pass in and out.
Yeah.
I think a healthy tariff isn't a bad idea. And it's constitutional also. it's a constitution. Actually, Andrew Jackson was the only president to pay off our national debt. And through that, he was able to get rid of our second central bank. And he did that by raising tariffs. Kind of interesting.
And he was against central banks, and that's why they put him on the $20 bill, the most famous.
Well, isn't that crazy? I think they did that as kind of like a little slap in the face. Like, we got back in, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why Michael Jackson was so fucked up.
And now we're going to have, I don't know, some lady. Harriet Tubman.
Sweet.
Yeah. Pretty cute lady. Sorry. So, go ahead.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
All right. So, back to our seven actions to protect American workers. The third action, Mr. Trump says, I will direct the Secretary of the Treasury to label China a currency manipulator.
Awesome. What's that do? I don't know. Maybe if somebody knows.
He's not going into debt, like how they're making things at a cheaper price and selling it, you know.
But
how they manipulate their own currency to be cheaper than it is.
But by labeling them that, does that have an effect? Does that put them into a certain class of trade with us?
I guarantee you that fucking American flag pin he has on his jacket was made in fucking China.
Isn't that funny? Like, he really, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, man? Yeah. Shit. All right.
I'm going to label you, Nick, as a black hat wearer.
Yeah. Hey, nice Nikes there that were made in China, you fucking currency manipulator supporter. Because, you know, you're obviously made everything. I fucking challenge you to find something that wasn't made in China in your fucking house.
Yeah, yeah.
Five fucking things that are made in America. I challenge you.
Well, and why? A lot of the industries here have been stifled because of government overregulation, too. Yeah.
Fucking, that doesn't make sense. So, the fourth action to protect American workers. I will direct the Secretary of Commerce and U.S. Trade Representative to identify all foreign trading abuses that unfairly impact American workers and direct them to use every tool under American and international law to end those abuses immediately. Okay. All right. The fifth, I will lift the restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, natural gas, and clean coal.
I like that.
Okay. So he's going to lift $50 trillion worth of job-producing Americans. Okay. sixth, I will lift the Obama-Clinton roadblocks and allow vital energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline to move forward. The one that's fucking up the Native Americans over there?
No, that's the Dakota Access Pipeline. Okay. This is the Keystone Pipeline. But here's the thing. People can build pipelines in a free society. The thing is, what happens if it goes through somebody's private property?
You got to get a fucking okay with the person with the...
And what they're doing is that they're using eminent domain through the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment says that the government, if need be, can use eminent domain to basically steal people's property, but it has to give them, quote-unquote, just compensation. I've studied the Keystone Access Pipeline, and everybody that is their property is being taken from them through eminent domain is they all complain that they were not given just compensation.
No, literally, I think your real estate value goes up.
For acres of property, they're given like $8,000.
Would it be sold for on the free market?
Probably hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it's beautiful fucking countryside.
So the Constitution farms and does provide, and the Constitution provides that it has to be like a needed thing to use eminent domain. It really is an oil pipeline needed. You know, I mean, that's a big thing, but you're going through a lot of land. You're going through people's land, and you got to pay them for it. These companies are going to make billions of dollars, so they're shortchanging what people deserve to be being paid for the theft of their property. So he says he's going to open up Keystone
Pipeline.
And
that's just one thing here. He's saying programs, I'm sorry, where is it? Yeah, infrastructure programs like the Keystone Pipeline.
So Dakota Access could be
several,
one of them.
There's several projects that could be affecting people.
You're right.
The seventh is cancel billions in payments to the UN climate change programs and use the money to fix America's water environmental infrastructure.
I love the first part of that. Cancel payments to the UN. Absolutely billions. Beautiful. But it says, then I use that to work on America's waterways and environmental infrastructure. I think that money should be given back to the people, and the people should build their own infrastructure.
So then he has the five actions to restore security and the constitutional rule of law.
Oh, this should be good. This should be good. So he's going to restore...
I'm going to crack a beer for this one, okay?
Yeah. So he's going to... No, I'm good. So he's going to restore the constitutional rule of law. First one.
I love that, man.
Yeah, let's see what his plan is here. First, he's going to cancel every unconstitutional executive action memorandum and order issued by President Obama. Sounds good. I would say do that for all the fucking previous presidents, because that shit's been going on since the system was invented.
It's the point of the fucking Constitution.
What's that?
Isn't that the fucking point of having a Constitution?
He wants to get rid of all the executive orders, which I'm absolutely down with that.
Yeah.
But not just President Obama's. It's like he's doing it almost in like a douchebag racial way.
Yeah.
Like, don't just hate him. Like, the president before him did a whole bunch of shitty ones, too, right?
That was for freedom.
Oh, well, because, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So, second, begin the process of selecting replacement. Patriot. Oh, yeah, I like this one.
That was a Patriot Act.
Begin the process of selecting a replacement for Justice Scalia from one of the 20 judges on my list who will uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. Okay? I'm always down with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
We get into a little bit of a shady subject there when you talk about judicial review and how that wasn't actually constitutional, but we're going to do a whole show on that, so we'll get into that later. Third, cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities. Okay, sounds good.
Yuma, Arizona. No, that
different places where they're accepting
San Francisco. It's like it's a sanctuary city.
Is it where they're accepting?
They don't ask. It's like
okay. Yeah, absolutely. Fourth, begin removing the more than 2 million criminally legal immigrants.
Wait, can we go back to that
country.
One? Sorry.
Sure.
So it's cancel all federal funding. So, I mean, if you have a natural disaster in your city, like say you're not even for, I mean, you just happen to live in this city. It's a sanctuary city. LA is kind of a sanctuary city.
Well, they've actually.
But if they have a natural disaster, you aren't getting federally funded to repair your roads, get help at all. Nor should you be.
Because the more you accept gifts from the federal government, it's always quid pro quo. They're always going to want something back from you. You should have a healthy enough state to where your state can give you the funds and services that you need. We don't need that. That federal government should be about that big. It shouldn't be that powerful. Your state can be as powerful and tyrannical per the Constitution. Powerful and tyrannical is basically as it wants without violating the Bill of Rights. The federal government has checks on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, federal funding absolutely sucks. Fourth, begin removing the more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country and cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take them back. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we arrest them, they go to search their data and they go, oh, he's not a citizen. They're going to send him back.
What's wrong? He's talking about work visas for anybody who's not a criminal.
Future visas.
Like, yeah.
They won't, if a country goes, no, we're not taking them back. He's saying, all right, then no more work visas for people coming over until you take these people back. I think that sounds fair.
Yeah, but I don't think most countries want to let the people go, right? Like Mexico, if you come over here on a work visa, they're losing taxes off of people's paychecks, right?
A lot of times, it's a positive for a country like that because that person sends money back to their family.
Yeah, typically.
And then that person spends it into their economy.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's considered illegal here? Like, I mean, you got caught with a bag of weed, you fucked a hooker, and now you're a criminal, or is violent crimes?
It doesn't really matter if you think about it, because if a illegal immigrant is caught here, should they be here? Like, you have to have a way to vouch for the people that come here. Because here's how you end up getting, like, multiculturalism, is because a bunch of people come into this country, and they try to bring their culture into it. So I have no problem with other religions, races, even traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to come to this country, it's about one thing and one thing only, and everybody's got to be on board with that. That is freedom. Allow other people to be free. Now, what happens is if you allow a storm of other ideologies in without checking them, or they don't go through the process of learning what it takes to be a citizen and learning what freedom is, then they're going to bring their culture in, and then you're going to have riots saying, hey, let's make this Pakistan. Let's make this Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the idea here. The idea here is that the reason you all came here is because you wanted freedom. So we, like, it's got to be kind of understood. So if somebody is caught, you know, breaking, you know, one of the laws, unfortunately, we do have too many laws, but that's one way that people are just going to be checked. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, you're not even a legal citizen? Dude, I think they've got to leave, because also they're not paying into any of the taxes or anything. They're not paying for any of the infrastructure.
Yeah, like, I'm all for taking people from anywhere. You know, like, if you want to be here, work, that's great. You know, I know, like, a lot of the people who've came here, like, risk their lives. And a lot of it's from Mexico. Like, risk their lives to come here. Mm-hmm. To be free.
Right.
And that's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the tides are changing for, like, Mexican Americans. You know, they're owning more businesses, and their kids are going to college and stuff like that.
I love it. I think that what we have to do is petition our government to increase the amount of legal immigrants that can get in here without taking away from the quality of the process. So if you've got to get a bunch more employees to do that, I'd be okay with that. Get more, like, we're okay with the flood of people in here. And it's not, there's a big fallacy also going around that says, we're just going to get packed and we're going to get run off the face of, we're going to cause so much weight on the globe of people that the earth's crust is going to spin or something. And it's like, no, okay. Right now, our birth rate barely is high enough to keep our population level at par. We actually require immigration into this country for economic development.
Oh, yeah, and go on a road trip. I mean, there's so much free land available. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And with modern technology to be able to irrigate those kind of lands, yeah. like it's very doable. But it has to be done correctly, right? Like if it's illegal and you're not even on the books, say you commit a murder, they don't even have your fingerprints or like nobody even knows who you are. How does the government even act against you or arrest you, or do they need to be giving you meals then? How does it work out, you know? Like you've got to have them, it's got to be a process to where they're actually checked, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, any country would want that. You got to know who your neighbors are, kind of, in a way.
And that kind of brings us to the fifth one. It says, suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. All vetting of people coming into our country will be considered, quote-unquote, extreme vetting.
That's a hard one because it could be argued that we created the terrorism, what we call terrorists.
It is argued, and I totally agree with that.
We bomb the fuck out of your country, no matter, no wonder you fucking hate us, you know what I mean?
Especially when the religions have been
because
set
you
up.
Didn't want to be on the dollar, you want to change your own fucking, you want to go to your own currency, now you're a terrorist country.
Yeah. And we're over there extracting your resources.
Yeah.
And bombing anybody that would fight us back. Like
burning your goats.
Dude, I would think that's, if somebody was doing that here,
it'd be fucking crazy.
I would dedicate my life to stopping that injustice. And that's what a lot of these people are doing, right? I don't know. So
that one's a little funky, dude. Okay.
Now, this other one, I don't think we have to get into
all
this.
But people jump all over that shit like, yeah, man, fucking freedom, man. Fuck terrorism. Terrorists are fucking us up, man. TSA's okay, man. I don't give a shit if I gotta take my belt off, get a finger in the butt. It's for freedom. That ain't fucking free, motherfucker.
Your freedom? The government just shoved
you got
a finger up
fucking
your ass.
Finger
you just
up
got
your ass.
Violated.
But that's for freedom.
Yeah.
Thanks, George Bush.
You got finger raped.
What the fuck?
How free are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not having shampoo. That's a fucking freedom. Make sure you don't have a little bottle of water to take on their fucking flight. That's freedom.
I want to be able to sing to the flag at the Super Bowl. That's what they really want. So there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism, too.
Yeah, nationalism is a little scary.
But people don't, most people don't know that. Most people think those are synonymous terms.
It's just us and fuck everyone else.
Yeah,
nationalism. You just came out of your mom's vagina, like your dad fucked your mom on this chunk of dirt. That's it. You didn't do nothing before that. You just swam to
a
fucking egg.
Why?
Well, I was shit out in fucking Alabama, and that's where, you know, fuck yeah, Alabama. Go yeah. South.
Well, and how'd that work out during the Civil War, too, though, for them? But I'm just using Alabama as an example. These people, the nationalism is crazy. I saw a commercial, and it was paid by the Ad Council, and it had John Cena. He's walking down the street acting all patriotic and shit. And he goes, this country's beautiful. You know why? Because it's because of the people. Blah, blah, blah. And he keeps, but that was the idea of the commercial. And it's like, no, you asshole. You're misleading the people. This country is beautiful because of one thing only, freedom. That's the only reason. Yeah. It's not because of the people in it, because the people in it right now are assholes. It's not because of the chunk of land, although the chunk of land is awesome. Anywhere in the world that you allowed true freedom to exist, they would thrive.
Yeah, they flourish, yeah.
They would flourish. And it's about that. And
but you know, the other thing is, I like all the different cultures, man.
Variety is the
being
spice
in Vegas,
of life.
In Vegas, you run into so many people just shooting the shit, you know. Mm-hmm. I met some people from Canada. I met this Scottish guy, you know, playing craps next to this Scottish guy. I couldn't understand a fucking thing he was saying. He goes, put it on the pass line, you win every time. And I'm going, okay, all right. Yeah, put it on the fucking pass line. I win every fucking time. All right, thanks, buddy. He goes, what you want to fucking news? Put it on the fucking 13. I'm going, all right, cool. Thanks. But I don't know. I think it's cool people come here, have their cultures, practice their religions and everything else. But like you said, just keep it free and all that. But I think it's a great thing. I mean, it'd be boring if we just all eat fucking bologna sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Or just every day. Like, I love spaghetti. I love lasagna, but I want to eat it every fucking day, you know?
And that's the idea, is that we can get multiple different
the best of every culture. The best of the culture, dude. Around the world.
Everything. But the culture here is that we all understand that this is about freedom.
Don't agree.
Aside from that,
yeah.
Do your thing, but understand that first and foremost, the whole reason why this thing works is that we all agreed on freedom. So that was the contract. All you guys got to do is sign this because Donald Trump already signed it. So these are his promises to us, and he already signed it, so all we got to do is sign it, and I guess we're both legally obligated to fulfill the contract.
He has a pretty weird signature, man. That's kind of like... Mine kind of looks like that.
That is weird, man. I'd like to have that psychoanalyst.
No, he's a righty.
Yeah. I don't know.
But you want to go on the back of it, or...
Nah, these are just kind of some acts that he wants to get pushed through, and maybe we can do that on a different show, but we got other things to cover, and we're already an hour in. So,
well, good luck with that, Mr. Trump.
Good luck.
If you want to read this, go to donaldjtrump.com/contract.
You know what? I'm not signing my name because a lot of this stuff I don't agree with. I'm not signing my name. So, when we come back from the break, we're going to get into how he was supposedly elected, which he hasn't even been elected yet because the Electoral College has not met to place their votes. So, when we come back, we're going to get into the Electoral College. Peace. I was shaking hands in the face of death in the Amazon. Did we already do that song? We already did that song.
I think we did.
Yeah, sorry. We already did that song.
You're not going to hear the same song twice in the same show on the Beacon Podcast.
Everybody's like, what the fuck was that?
It sounded good, though.
Yeah, it did.
Shaking hands.
No, what we're going to do next is we're going to... Oh, this is perfect to do right now.
Oh, man. I'm in so much suspense.
Because everybody wanted to protest. And the country is being divided up right now. People that didn't want Trump are protesting. People that do want Trump are starting to act militant now. Like, if you don't like it, you can leave.
Fucking get out.
Go to Canada. Go back to Mexico. Like, I'm hearing all this stuff now. This right now for the Libertarian Party is the perfect time because tyranny has just changed hands. It just changed hands from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, but it's still tyranny. So, probably my favorite podcast right now is the Jason Stapleton program, and he kind of put together a speech on what a lot of us can argue right now at this particular moment to everybody, whether you're on the left or right. It's a beautiful argument. And it's an opportune time for it. So, here it is.
To progressives, this is what I would say. I say, listen, you're not scared of Trump. You're really not. I mean, Trump's been on this earth for 70 years, and other than a general distaste for him, no one ever feared for their life because Trump walked the earth. He could do whatever he wanted because it really didn't affect your life. He had no control over you. So whatever he was involved with, whatever game he was running, it didn't affect your life at all. He may have been a despicable person, but there was no need for you to fear him. What you fear is the power that he now wields. Republicans felt the same way 8 years ago, by the way. After Obama was elected, and for them, it was gun rights and religious persecution, wasn't it? We all remember the gun prices shot up 200, 300%. Obama called all of us bitter clingers. Progressives called us crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists. Right? It's kind of funny when the shoe's on the other foot. You start to, oh, yeah. I was kind of that way. I bought a gun. Those of you on the progressive left fear Trump because he is going to have control over you. He has the power to affect your personal life and the lives of those that you love, and he has threatened to use that power in a way that you find unthinkable. But let me ask you a very simple question. What if government had no power over your personal life? What if Donald Trump could make all the threats that he wanted, but he had no means to act on his evil desires? You see, everyone loves the benevolent dictator, or even the brutal one, as long as his wrath is pointed in the other direction. We are far too quick to relinquish our freedoms and our liberties on the promise that our benevolent leaders will crush our opposition. But every power used to control our political and social enemies can also be used to control us. Progressives cheered Obama when he used his unilateral power of executive orders to fast-track a left-wing agenda, circumventing our system of checks and balances. It's okay, they said. Screw the other side. They just hate... fill in the blank. They just want to hold back progress. But now that same power rests in the hands of a man who may use it to persecute them. It's scary. It really is. Now listen to me. This is important. The liberties we trade for security, the powers we grant government, are never returned. We as a people must be vigilant in ensuring that we are not tricked into trading away our individual liberties for the promise of a benevolent government, because one day that government may turn tyrannical. So I would like to make a plea to every American, whether you woke up yesterday with a renewed sense of hope or one of deep despair. If we want to ensure that our elected officials never have the power to persecute those they serve, we must work together to limit the size of government and the power our officials wield. As libertarians, we believe the government has no business telling you what you can buy, who you can love, or who you can associate with. Our philosophy is simple and just. We don't hurt people, and we don't take their stuff. If you believe in those ideas, even in principle, then you might consider looking a little deeper into what we believe. I think you'll find a vision of a world that you'd like to live in, regardless of your political leanings. I think you'll find that we have far more that unites us than divides us. Would you like to hear more?
Love it. And that's what we're here doing at the Beacon Podcast, is we're expanding on that. And we're talking about why, and we're deprogramming what has been programmed into a lot of people's heads through this mainstream media that really is, it's a modern day form of brainwashing, and it really is very effective. So now we're going to talk about the Electoral College. The Electoral College is constitutional. It's outlined in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2. Go check it out. It talks about how the president is to be elected. When you vote on Election Day, what was that, November 8th? November 8th.
When you vote, in California, it was the 8th. I think it was... the 7th on the East Coast, right?
I don't know.
Was it all in one day?
I don't know.
Okay.
There was early voting also. But when
you vote, can mail it in your ballot and stuff, yeah.
But there is even early voting at like polling places, mm-hmm. too. When you vote, you actually vote for an elector on Election Day. And there's the meeting of the electors to be had on December 19th. So it's still in the future. Oh. So you actually voted for an elector. There is one elector for every member. So the state, each state has a specific amount of electors.
Depending on the population.
Sort of. So they have one elector for every member of House of Reps.
Oh, that's right.
And every member of the Senate. Every state has two senators, and then they have House of Reps that are based off of their population. It's adjusted by the 10-year census. Every 10 years, they do a major census, and it's adjusted. All those numbers are adjusted based off of that 10-year census. What this does is it actually protects the electing power of the smaller states from the bigger states, because those smaller states, like Wyoming, is the least populous state. And comparatively, it would have basically like zero votes if it was just based off of population.
Mm-hmm.
But because they've actually got two senators automatically, they get two electors. And then however many in the House, I don't know if they have one or two in the House, but they probably have either three or four electors. And so it protected them being a smaller state.
So Rhode Island has the same amount of senators as Texas?
Yes. Every state has two senators.
I'm just saying, but like the size, like the amount of real estate.
But they have different amounts of House of Representatives.
Cool.
So there are 538 total electors. If those 538 electors were spread across 309 million people, it would be one elector for every 574,000 people. Rhode Island has 1.2 million people. If by population, Rhode Island should get two electors, if we did that by population, because one for 574,000, they have 1.2, that's roughly two electors. But Rhode Island gets four. California is 10 electors shy if it was distributed by population. So that's how it kind of protects the small states from the big states.
Mm-hmm.
Most states are winner-take-all states, where the popular vote in that state actually gets all of the electors. The only ones that aren't are Nebraska and Maine. Those are actually apportioned percentage-wise. Washington, D.C. always gets three electors. It's not a state, but that's the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. is set apart in the Constitution that is the federal government. That's their jurisdiction. And now they think that their jurisdiction is so much bigger, they encroach upon the states.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're giving out NRAPs to police forces and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Quid pro quo. We give you something, you give us something later. For sure. So, the way it works out, one voter in Vermont has the same voting power as three in Texas. It protects the smaller states' voters' power. It actually makes each voter's vote worth more. One vote in Wyoming is worth four Californians' votes. Pretty crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. So one in Wyoming is four in California. Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They're just more powerful voters because of the way that Electoral College is set up. Because most states are winner-take-all, an interesting strategy for the candidates develops. In most states, winning by a large margin is no better than by winning by one vote, because they're a winner-take-all state. So if you win by one vote, or you won by, you know, 99% of the vote, it doesn't make any difference. So it'd be
and a how did this come into play besides just popular vote? Like, is this to prevent mob mentality?
Absolutely. This is a continuation off of our episode Republic or Democracy, mm-hmm. where we were set up as a republic and there's certain intricate things that made us a republic in order to prevent us from being a pure democracy. Remember, when massive groups of people get together, they're influenced very easy, mm-hmm. and they're very dangerous. And this was in order to keep that from happening. You know, like a water tender truck?
Yeah.
You have baffles in that truck so that all the water can't slush to one side or slash to the other side. Because that force is a dangerous force.
It affects your brakes.
So you divide it up into smaller groups to where each group only has a certain amount of power. That's kind of the principle at work.
Wow, that's a good analogy, man.
Thanks. It just popped into my head, actually. Thank you.
Amazing.
So, in those states, winning by one vote is equal to winning by 99%. It takes away that a lot of that power of the majority in that state, right?
It does bother me that we're so easily just able to jump onto one bandwagon, so to say, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we always talk on the show, like, hey, man, don't fuck with people, this and that. And, like, and I think we're guilty of, like, saying it's that easy. But even our own selves could even fall into the... Like, yeah, fuck that guy, man. He's a dick, dude. Whatever it is, we could be the majority or the minority, but it's like something in your brain that could be switched like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's voting or a popular opinion or whatever it is.
Yeah. There's an animalistic instinct inside of us to follow.
It's survive.
The pack.
It's just, boom, do this and survive. Yeah. Do what's best for us immediately or whatever it is.
Because either it was built into us or through evolution we learned it. But that always has protected animals and people is by staying in groups. You're insulated, mm-hmm. you know, and the closer into the center of the group, the better.
Like a school of fish, you know, stay with the pack.
Yep.
If you deviate, you're going to get sucked up and eaten.
Right.
It's just safe.
But you know what? All the big predators always eat the packs. They don't go around just looking for like individual fish.
Yeah, I think it's there's a probability like, you're going to get bit, but
a whale will go for a school of fucking fish.
Oh yeah,
and just open its mouth with its fucking baleen and just be like, just plow through them. That was my baleen sound. I'm gonna name my kid Baleen.
Yeah, you having a kid?
No.
Baleen, but that's just like a small bacteria, kind of smaller.
No, that's their like little teeth thing.
Oh that yeah, that captures everything.
Filter out everything. Okay, so candidates will ignore states where they are winning by big margins. And they'll concentrate their effort on what are called battleground states. And swing states. Swing states that traditionally can go either way. So theoretically, if this game is played right, if a candidate campaigned for all of the lowest population states, and they were able to get all of the lowest population states, they could win 51% of the electors with only 22% of the popular vote. If it was done like by the book. That's fascinating. There are three times in history where the unpopular candidate won the election. And actually, this I prepared this before this election happened,
mm-hmm.
This little piece. So there's actually now been four times in history where the unpopular candidate won the election through electors. But I will say, he hasn't won the election yet.
There's it's weird. If you look at the border of Montana and Idaho... Uh-huh. It kind of looks like Trump, like a profile.
That's that crazy shit, man. Usually, don't those follow like a major like river, like a major waterway, or like a major like mountain just, range?
Yeah, and his property. Yeah. What I think is weird is like the whole border, like the West Coast border, is all Hillary. You know, California, Oregon, Washington, mm-hmm. Nevada. Well, Nevada's not a coastal community, but then you get into, you know, the other America that we forget about that's not connected to the land, Alaska and Hawaii. Alaska is a red state and Hawaii is a blue state.
Yeah, where people generally collect in larger and larger population centers, they end up voting more with that herd mentality, mm-hmm. where you end up getting a lot more like rural type of people. They end up being a bit more individualistic. So there's this. So now, real quick, do you mind just telling us who won the popular vote and who won the supposedly what the electors are going to vote?
Well, according to this election map, Clinton won 232 and Trump won 306.
Electors.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's like a pink region, which doesn't really talk about that much.
How about the popular vote?
Let's go back to that one. Boom. Nope, lost that on the computer. I couldn't find a good... they said that one's still being picked.
Oh, because they got to count provisional
they're still counting those.
And
yeah.
absentee stuff.
So they still don't have those yet.
They're still coming in from outer space. Like,
yeah.
So you know you're allowed to vote in outer space if you're a U.S. citizen. You're allowed to vote anywhere in the world if you are a U.S. citizen, except for, like, I think it's like four places. Those four places are all areas that are U.S. owned but not part of the United States. Like, what is it? Is it Puerto Rico? You know, like all of those other regions that we have?
Yeah.
Those are not, they're considered U.S. citizens, but they're not allowed to vote in our elections. And if one of our citizens goes down there, they can't vote. Those are the only areas where you can't vote in our election if you're a citizen.
It's being said by U.S. News that Hillary had won by 1 million popular votes.
Okay. So that's what I've heard also.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's a weird strategy that's being developed right now with all these protests. They still are saying that Trump is not president and that they can overturn this. They say basically that the media has propagated the belief that Trump is the candidate. And I will say the protesters do have an argument just based off the Constitution. He hasn't been elected yet. That happens December 19th by the electors. What they are trying to do is get a certain amount of electors to go against their state rules. And if it's a winner-take-all state, let's say, to vote against what they were pledged to vote. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to need, if Trump was at 306, you said?
I believe so.
The number, in order to get the to win, you have to have 270 electoral votes. He got 306, so essentially 30, he'd still have 270 then. You'd have to have 37 electors switch. Now, here's what they are saying. They're saying those electors don't have to vote for Hillary. They can vote for anybody.
Gary Johnson, whoever.
They're actually saying even if you're Republican.
Jill, what's her name, Klein? Or
no,
Jill?
Not even that. As long as they are a candidate, like a registered candidate, they can vote for one of them. It could be somebody that we haven't even heard.
Yeah.
Could be that guy with the Constitution Party. Who knows? But what it does is it puts Trump below 270 electoral votes. And then what happens is a new process opens up where the House of Representatives gets to vote on who the president is. And it's a Republican-controlled House. The new House of Representatives is a Republican-controlled House. And they'll vote in... presumably a different Republican candidate. That's what some of the protesters have designed as like, okay.
Fucking Ted Cruz.
I hate that guy, dude. Anyway, so that's kind of one of the things they're like working on in the background.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz.
He's like, I really am chafing in my pants. And if anybody, in that audience,
I got has my new dad jeans, a and smidgen, my two cell phone clips, and
has a smidgen of cornstarch. I could totally spread that on my taint, and I would be happy. And I would be happy.
Hey, I like to rock out too. You know, Nickelback, Creed,
Scott Stapp. What a rebel!
He's amazing.
He's a rabble rouser. All right, let's take a quick little break. We're at an hour and a half, and then we can get into a couple of these propositions. We'll talk about these. Then we'll get out of your guys' hair until the next episode. Well, right now,
hold
let's
up.
Just
take that
break.
All you niggas be thinking we stop. We don't play.
To the next episode.
Americans, that is by Kill Radio.
And you know, I don't know what's going on with that band anymore, but they make some good ass music, man. Good job, good on you, Kill Radio.
Good on you for shizzle.
And good on podcasting, because do you want to listen to stupid ass radio fucking jocks telling you, hey, the other day we got 209, it's 9 past 2. Hey, the 14's backed up.
There's
hey,
everybody, hey,
can you believe that Hillary didn't win that election? Oh my God, hey, man, we're coming back at you.
And then the women always sound like these, like, water buffalo. They're like, come on, wait.
Hi, this is Sheila. It's five, the 5's backed up, the 405's backed up, it's 65 degrees in Huntington Beach.
She's like, Trump has won the election in a landslide vote, and it is voter fraud is on the list of all these things. And I'm like, ah, stop talking like that. Talk like a normal human fucking being, please.
Hey, welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. We're back. We're listening to Kill Radio right now. We're in K. Man, the box today. They're called pukers. Like, that's how they used to teach people
pukers?
How to broadcast. It's called, yeah, they're called pukers. Like, the way they
that's
talk like
strategy?
That. Strategy? Yeah. It's,
does it get people to listen more?
No, it's, the technique of speaking that way from like radio broadcasting.
But it's annoying. Why would like, you teach that?
I know I'm making fun of it, but I listen to this AM radio show, not a lot, but pretty regularly, just to know the weather. You know, I always have to like know the weather at work and stuff like that. And they're old school radio. AM is old school radio. And the dude and the chick on the show constantly talk the same. It's because I listen to it in the morning on my way to work. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly news, weather, traffic, sports on the tens, you know?
Yeah.
And,
wouldn't you, like, I'd go through an existential crisis if I had to talk like that all day.
But then at a certain point, it's, that's how they talk. You know, like, imagine, I'm sure this girl's not getting a lot of dates. I'm imagining she's probably in her close to 70 years old by now, but on a date over a nice steak or some sushi or something, like, yeah, can you pass that pepper, please? All right, thank you.
She just throws it at him.
Hey!
You'll shut up. I'll get you whatever you want.
It's like, so, I like movies.
It's like, is that gorgonzola cheese? Oh, wow. Ooh-wee. Really brings out the flavor of the
wow.
steak. Hey!
It is popping. Hey! It's 7:09. 7:09 after the hour. 9 after the hour. Okay.
I'll be back after a word from my dick.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, hey, thank you, waiter. We're coming back to Francis's Great Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Thank you.
Okay.
I would like to perform oral on the way back to my apartment. Thank you. Maybe anal.
Yeah, I mean, how
you spent a lot
romantic.
On this date, so maybe we will get some anal tonight. All right.
She's all, okay, this just in. My boyfriend would like to have anal with me, and I am seriously considering it.
Handjob's definitely not out of the question. But, like, they both, the dude talks the same way. Like, I love to see them normally after work just be like,
Just be a normal person.
Hey, Pete. Hi, Sheila. You know, whatever the fuck.
Dude, even that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But that's you just trying to be a normal person. You're like
trying to talk normally?
You have the best, like talking voice.
Yeah.
And you
I like to see them talking over the menu like, oh, isn't it great to be... Just had a nice restaurant after a hard day's work at the AM radio station.
Isn't it great to be hung sure like a horse? Is.
Oh, yeah.
Sure is, yeah. Wow, they have a great deal going on the...
You ever talk to anybody like that just has a peaceful voice?
Shrimp cocktail.
Like, I've talked to some old dudes, and I'm like, dude, this dude's way too peaceful for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, so how's it going? He's like, well, you know, it's going as good as life is, you know, but isn't that good for all of us, really? And I'm like, oh, this dude... Get me out of the room.
I got this guy at fucking work. Every time I got a call, I hate it when he answers the fucking phone. I got to call their area. And like, oh, hey, Ed. How you doing? He's like, fair to Midland. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Every time you fucking answer the phone, that's what you how you answer, right? And then 2 days ago, I talked to this fucking guy. And I'm going, you always say that, Ed. You always say fair to Midland.
That's a band, too.
Fair to Midland is a band?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, that's what's to be expected. Like, he talks fucking slow as shit, and he can never just answer your question straight up. It's like he has to fucking...
It's all metaphors?
Oh, God. It's like...
He must well, be... He's got to be intelligent. To
no, he's
degree.
Fucking dumb as fuck.
Really?
Pretty dumb. Okay. I wouldn't say dumb, but not very smart.
For your job. Maybe he can use... He has some talent in some other aspect or something.
Just being super annoying
Let's
and
have him
slow.
On the show.
And, yeah. Fuck that. No. He's one of those guys that would explain the simplest fucking task to you in extreme detail over and over again and not think fucking twice about it.
Oh, that
right?
kills me.
And then I made the mistake like of asking sloth. Again, like, he's like, hey, Nick, how are you doing? Oh, pretty good, Ed. I just had a quick question there for you. And he's like, I'm like, how are you doing, Ed? And he goes, fair to Midland. And I go, oh, yeah. Why'd I even ask? You say that every fucking time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was my old guy fucking dealings with.
Yeah. Like we said, though, variety is the spice of life. It may be good to... That type of personality might be good for doing something.
Right? Just one time I wanted to say, fucking job sucks. Today sucks.
Get out of my face like, or I'm going to punch you.
Like, why do you got to come at me with such a great fucking attitude? Yeah, I'm in a hurry. What's your question? What are you calling for?
Oh, yeah, what the okay. Fuck? A real person. Okay.
So or fucking having a great day. Wife sucked my dick the other night. That was awesome.
You sound like Bill Burr right there, dude.
Oh, sorry, dude. Not me too.
Great day. Ha, ha. Ha. Wife sucked my dick the other night. Ha, ha.
Yeah, just some variety, you know? Like, it's the same thing. It's the same fucking tone every fucking time.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the show. Sorry for that, everybody. That's just our standard offshoot.
Yeah, we do it sometimes.
Off the rails.
We do it sometimes.
I blame the Sculpin from Ballast Point.
That's probably a good thing to blame it on.
Yeah.
Proposition 64 passed in California.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. So, 64 legalizes marijuana for recreational use. Yes. This is aside from the previous act that was passed where it was for medicinal use. This is for recreational use. But it taxes cultivation. So if you end up cultivating it, you get a tax. It has a 15% state excise tax on sales.
Oh, shit. That's my fucking thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting Nick hooked back up. Cord came out. Because you wrestle around in that chair so much. So you're so active. Such an active person.
Am I back on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It got caught on the handle of the chair, and when I turned it,
no worries.
It
it's because you were trying to do a handstand on that thing, man.
Yeah.
It's like when I was a kid, I could never just sit still in a seat. Like, I'd always be like doing like...
You're an ADD kid?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So anyways, it makes illegal direct marketing to minors. So certain... types of like marketing types that might be directed towards minors or during kids programming or within a certain distance of schools, it makes that illegal. You have to be 21 and older to use it. So it's like alcohol.
But what if they gave the ADD kid some weed?
You mean below 21?
Yeah.
If it's
they're giving them other fucking pills, why not?
The medicinal laws, these are built on top of the medicinal laws. So if they were already being prescribed it medicinally, this doesn't affect that at all. You just can't.
I was making a joke, but I'm just saying we're talking about hyper ass kids.
Yeah.
And now marijuana is legal
mm-hmm.
for the fuck of it.
Yeah. So
but would you say that I was joking around about calling you ADD kid. You were just not impressed with the curriculum. It just wasn't holding your focus.
Oh,
I would argue that you're probably more intelligent.
It's horrible. And I think that
you didn't need to be drugged down.
Well, you've got a certain contingent of the population that they're either not listening or they don't care. And to them, it's
okay. Or they're not intrigued.
Because they're just around other people and just being part of the group is okay. For me, I'm like thinking the whole time, I'm like, why the fuck am I here? This is absolutely stupid. Why am I here? I'm wasting a lot of time.
And I think it was like Charlie Brown had it right. Like, you're literally in a class in a box where it's like, wop, 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 wop. And then like, how much can you take of that?
It's horrible. It's
like
hell.
All the people that I know that were considered ADD, like from a doctor, right? They could focus on things that they were into.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Like if you had held their focus, like my buddy Lucas, he would skateboard until he got the fucking trick down. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you had him in a classroom where they're like, back in 1978,
it'd be horrible.
Yeah, it was like fuck. I can't.
And your paycheck. Hey, your future paychecks are going to depend on you paying attention right now and staying out of trouble.
Yeah, you're a problem in the classroom.
Yeah.
Why are you looking outside all the time?
The system's got to change. Absolutely. Yeah. It's fucked up. It doesn't really foster like really intelligent people. Like it doesn't help them out at all. It holds them back.
It's warehousing.
It teaches pack mentality. And it teaches a false version of history, which is propagandizing. Our school system is absolutely needs to be completely changed. I think we did a show on that. We talked about how the system was brought over from Prussia. Mm-hmm. Our current schooling system, it was Horace Mann brought it over from Prussia. And it was all about just teaching people how to be button pushing, knob turning slaves.
Lever pullers.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I was just a side note.
But that, yeah. No, good point. So it exempts medical marijuana from sales and use tax. So medical marijuana is not taxed. You must smoke in a private residence or a business that is licensed for private marijuana consumption.
And this is just in California? I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to grow marijuana, grow it for cancer patients, and you will not be taxed.
You can actually, yeah, exactly, because it taxes cultivation. You can have up to 6 plants with this new law at your house, but you are taxed.
But that's what I'm saying. Grow it, sell that shit, but only sell it to people for medical purposes, because you're not going to prove that it's not working. Just like Advil, you take a fucking Advil, you can't prove that it made your headache go away. Like, I still can't have a headache.
That may be a loophole. I don't know.
I'm trying to help you out, motherfuckers.
There's all sorts of loopholes when you get into some of these complicated laws that form and ways around them, right? You may have just found one.
There you go. That's what I do.
Thank you.
This is how we do it.
By the way, the fines for smoking in a public place can range from $100 to $250. You can have 28 grams or 1 ounce of marijuana on your body.
Wait, how many? 25 grams?
28 grams, which is 1 ounce. One ounce or 28 grams. You can actually...
Like, how big of a bag is that?
Right now, you could walk downtown with that in your pocket, go up to a cop and be like, this is what I got going on.
Like, shake in front of the face and go, check this shit out, motherfucker. Yeah. I'm having a great time tonight.
Yep. So that has changed. Mm. Now. And it's effective now.
I'm trying to visualize how big a bag that is, though. You know, like
1 ounce. An ounce is an ounce. Like, think of a shot glass.
3 fingers.
Think of a shot glass.
But 25 of those.
No,
I don't know.
But a shot glass. What a shot glass weigh like
the weight
for,
of it
for that it's done in weight.
Yeah.
The weight of that. And so without the glass. A few nuggets, without the glass. Just the liquid.
Yeah, yeah. The nuggets.
Yeah. Think of an ounce silver round.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that dry weed.
It's probably one of those little Ziploc baggies like that the soccer moms carry.
Probably.
That are like a quarter of a bag.
Nah, probably bigger than that. And if it's dry, I bet it's way lighter, too.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably like a half a sandwich bag.
It probably depends on how much moisture is in it, right?
Okay, a Ziploc bag that holds your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
One quarter full.
One of those full or half of that full, probably.
You're talking to the... I don't know. I just don't know. But that's what it is.
All right.
If anybody wants to hit us up, Twitter, Facebook, email.
Hashtag what an ounce of weed looks like. Motherfuckers.
I love doing this show. You can grow up to 6 plants and you can keep them in your private home. You can give someone up to 1 ounce or 28 grams.
As a gift?
Yeah.
Before you get 1099?
You can just give it to them.
Okay.
Regulation may prevent a future monopoly. So they're going to regulate the larger companies from getting too big. Now it's a criminal offense to smoke prior to the age of 21. So this law actually intensified. If you're under 21 and you get caught smoking, it actually made it a criminal offense rather than a misdemeanor.
Damn it.
And so that is kind of the nuts and bolts of this new marijuana law.
Well, I'd have been fucked because I don't smoke weed now. I don't have nothing against weed smoking, obviously. But all my weed smoking was a little bit in high school and just after. But once I could drink, it was just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just drink, you know. But who knows? Now that it's legal.
And check with your work, too.
Yeah, I have to wait till we have to wait till 2018, correct? We didn't bring that up in our discussion.
No, it's legal now.
No, I think we have to wait. It's not on the...
I looked into it. It's legal now.
Immediately.
Yes, but...
I can't just go fucking walk around with an ounce of weed right now.
Right now, yes, you can. What 2018 was that the state isn't going to issue licenses for businesses to sell it until 2018.
Good to know.
Good to know. Let's take a quick break back into Proposition 64 because I got to drain my bladder. And we got a cool song for you.
Bliss, I vibration. I know that like one more one already, right? Babylon burn, burn, burn. Yeah. We dream of this wonderful time, now we want a reality. Where was it? Where we can smoke marijuana every day without no apology. And even when we ask them red light, Lord, Babylon, them not penny we. Cause of the healing of the nation, now them no one of aggravation. You must step out in a Babylon face. We feed and we mount on the chalice we have laid. Smoke marijuana, we get so high. Like birds in the sky we fly. You must step out in a Babylon face. We feed and we mount on the chalice we have laid. Smoke marijuana, we get so high. Like birds in the sky we fly.
Watch what we do. Yeah. All I made it. Penny trip is send Babylon. Go cemetery when we make we talk. Action for bucket. Now we see them a try find the weed. Them off we stop it so we go the dutchie and we blaze up the country. Train a load of weed and Babylon them can't touch it. We want to blaze every day. We don't give a fuck where Babylon must say.
Youth man step out in a Babylon face. We feed and we mount and the chalice we have laid. Smoke marijuana we get so high. Like birds in the sky we fly. You must step out in a Babylon face. Swiffing and we mount on the chalice we have laid. Smoke marijuana we get so high. Like birds in the sky we fly.
We burn the herbs and get so high. Raise it up in front of the policeman eye. Ganja we a smoke but the coke we not shy. When them ask you why, the limit was sent to why by the most high. It was found from Solomon grave and him and the wisest man. See this flipping on me and them make the shy get quiet. We want enough, enough, enough weed to go around. Love it. From Jamaica we ship a thousand pounds. Two man step out in a Babylon
cave.
Now we mount and the chalice
we have.
Smoke marijuana we get so high. Like birds
I love music like this. Oh. Where you can smoke marijuana every day without apology. Like, why the fuck not, right?
Well, here's the thing.
How long has that shit been on the planet? How long have we been on the planet?
Time immemorial. But here is my thing. Absolutely should be legal from a principle of it's none of the government's business to tell you what you can and can't do with your body. Whether or not everybody should be smoking weed, I absolutely disagree. Now, what this law
did... The same could be said about alcohol, though.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't just get shit-faced at work all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And drive around and go down to 405, you know?
Freedom takes responsibility.
Absolutely.
So what I don't like about that law is that it looks like it's aimed towards pleasing people that want to smoke weed. It does nothing for the cause of freedom, because essentially it makes certain things more criminalized and certain things less criminalized, and really it's just a matter of intensifying certain fines and de-intensifying certain fines. And all it does really is, if you're over 21, you can have weed on you up to an ounce and smoke it in a private place. It really only gives an advantage to people that really just want to smoke weed. It's not like this bastion of freedom.
Who would already be smoking weed anyway?
They'd already be doing it. It's already legal to do it, and like in little bits anyways.
I mean, in my lifetime, or like when marijuana became... It's been popular since before I was born, like fucking 40 years before I was born. You know, actually way longer than that. But who cares? Here's the thing. People were smoking weed who wanted to smoke weed. We're fucking smoking weed either way.
Yeah.
Whether it's legal or not.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, in a way it kind of decriminalizes it.
No, it doesn't. See, that's what I would fight for. I would fight for decriminalization, which says, hey,
all out
government doesn't have any business involved in it. Now it's like, all right, you got to have a license if you want to sell it. That license is going to be issued by the state, and that gets opened up in 2018.
And they have to put a fucking barcode on your
taxed. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a freedom thing at all. It's just good for people that want to smoke. That's it.
No, I think it's more of a money grab. Like we're going to grab the tax money off.
Okay,
of it.
Sure. But I totally
which is good.
I don't think it's good. I think it's fundamentally I have a problem with that. The government has no business telling what you can and can't do with your body, and doesn't have any business telling somebody else what they can and can't sell you. As long as
I say it's good in the fact that we're fucking a state that's in debt, can't, you know, because of big government, can't fucking, because
of welfare.
Yeah. Can't fucking spend a dollar correctly. Right?
Right.
But it's just more money coming in. Hey.
But don't fix the real problem, you know?
Yeah, government overreach and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put a Band-Aid on it. Like, okay, we get more funding to help pay for stuff. Okay. I don't know, man. To me, looking more into this thing, it just doesn't look to me like this great freedom thing that everybody's making it out to be.
I don't think... You know what? I mean, I haven't heard anybody... call it a freedom thing at all. I've never heard that fucking phrase ever.
Oh man, I've heard just that like, from people that want to smoke weed.
They're like, I can fucking get high, but like, yeah, no, I don't hear that at all. It just, I think the people I talk to are always just like, well, people fucking come to their senses. It's just like, it's not gonna make you jump out of a window or go crazy like, you know, some of the propaganda you've seen.
Yeah.
From Reefer Madness and all that.
We did a show on that called The Drug War.
Yeah.
Guys, check it out. It's hilarious.
It's just like, it just makes sense. Like, from my understanding, it's just like, people just came to their senses like, who gives a fuck? Stoners are going to get stoned. They've been doing it.
And now you just maybe put a few less of them in jail. And
yeah,
let some
less people
of them
in jail
out that went to jail for it.
Exactly. Less people in jail, and you're taxing it.
I'm cool with that.
And the state's making money on it.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
That's what I'm seeing from everything.
All right, now let's get into some bad news.
As a non-weed smoker. Like, I don't even smoke weed. I don't even care, you know.
But you believe in certain principles, and you stand by those. That's good. That's what we do here.
But I'm not against weed smoking. Like, maybe now that it's legal, I might go camping and smoke some weed, or go to a concert and smoke some weed here and
there.
Careful,
you might jump off a balcony.
Maybe. Or play a piano like all crazy.
or eat a shotgun barrel.
Yeah.
I'm so high. Let's go into something a little sadder, but I wanted to end on this. And it's not that I like ending on sad subjects. I just really think that this one's important, and I want to drive it home. Proposition 63 passed also. And this was a huge loss. Californians, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Absolutely ashamed of yourselves. The thing that's keeping your ass free right now is your ability to own guns, and those guns can't do shit without proper ammunition. This Proposition 63 requires background checks on anyone wanting to buy ammunition with the Department of Justice. It outlaws large capacity magazines over 10 rounds and requires that if you have them already, that you dispose of them in the proper way.
Yeah, fuck that.
Well, this passed. This takes effect January 2018.
Hopefully you didn't have it registered and you could just go bury that shit in the backyard in case you need it.
Sure, but if something happens and cops got to come to your house and they see it,
psh. Felony.
Well, not. I don't think that one is a felony.
Good.
It intensifies. So after the San Bernardino attack, there's always laws that are written. There was laws that were written and passed. They weren't laws that were voted on by the people, but they were laws that were written and passed. It intensifies the post-San Bernardino laws and makes them more permanent. All lost or stolen guns and ammo must be reported. Now, a lot of what people are doing right now is if somebody gets a search warrant, ends up looking through their house and says, where's that 9mm that you're supposed to have? And they
go, you're registered as.
I don't know. It's lost. Well, now you're actually, you have to report all lost or stolen guns with to law enforcement within 5 days or it's a misdemeanor. So a lot of people were transferring guns that way and saying, oh, it was stolen or it was lost. And if also now it's a criminal to falsely report a lost or stolen gun. So they're really, this is a huge grab on guns. If you really think about how all this works. And if you guys got to listen to this a few times and actually like the more and more I think about it, the more and more I realize how intertwined this is in our freedom to be able to own guns. It keeps guns away from felons or quote unquote dangerous persons. That's the word it uses, dangerous persons. What's a dangerous person? It doesn't say. It says right now certain things that are prohibited.
You come home and your wife's fucking some other guy. You're going to grab a gun and become a dangerous person pretty quick, probably.
I mean, what if you had a podcast where you espoused liberty principles?
It's kind of dangerous.
Does that make you a dangerous?
No. You're not a fucking dangerous person in that case.
You say no, but I guarantee you one day that will be put on the list.
Calmate.
Yeah.
Calmate.
Calmate. So it requires the sales of ammunition to be made through licensed ammunition vendors and reported to the Department of Justice. It prohibits anyone convicted of stealing a firearm from possessing a firearm. This one's important. It requires the Department of Justice to provide information about prohibited persons to the Federal National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So, now there is a check system, and if you go to buy ammo somewhere,
it's like 30 fucking days, dude.
A quick scan gets done, and they can see if you're a prohibited person on a federal database. That's really cool. So here's what a prohibited person is. And if you're a prohibited person, you get no firearms, no ammo.
But luckily for those who are listening, this is just in California. Like, I could go to Arizona and buy all the ammo I want, right?
Well, sure, but you can't bring it over the border.
But you're goddamn right I am.
Well, check this out.
I'm going to fucking mail that shit Amazon style.
This gets deep.
I'm going to get a P.O. box.
This gets deep. So, also, if you become a prohibited person in a court, then your firearms and ammo becomes confiscated. And a prohibited person are the three.
What about loading your own? Load your own.
That may be a
buying
a
loophole.
That may be a loophole. So these three different things are what constitutes prohibited persons. Convicted felons and some misdemeanors like assault and battery. If you are a danger to yourselves or others due to mental illness, that's the way that they're going to get people like you and me. Yep. People that believe in freedom.
Your neighbor could say, he's a little crazy.
Well, and or not just that.
But it's a witch hunt. It's the witch hunt shit.
Watch. You're going to see in the news a bunch of crazy shootings happen from people that go, I just think we should be free. And they're going to do mass shootings. They won't be real people. They'll be brainwashed people. They'll do these mass shootings, and then they'll have to write reactionary laws, and a lot of the dumb people will be behind it, and it'll say, if you are really, like, you know, you believe in states' rights, and you believe in the Constitution, like, yeah, overboard. That's how they,
manipulate the masses.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen if we don't get a hold of this thing.
But have you not seen the wave of people, like, every time there's a mass shooting, people just jump to it. Like, mass media is just attention, right?
They flock like the school of fish. Exactly like the school of fish. They hop right on it.
Shiny light, go that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, shiny light syndrome. Also, anyone with a restraining order is a prohibited person.
Dude, who hasn't dated some crazy-ass fucking chick that... You might need a restraining order on, or like that say.
If you have a restraining order against
you. I know, but that's what I'm saying. He's crazy. Like, there could be, you could date some crazy chick and be like.
It's just subjective. It doesn't mean you didn't necessarily did anything
wrong.
Yeah,
you do shit.
Yeah. Well, now
just like the witch hunt thing I was saying. Like, oh, he's a little crazy. I fear for mass safety.
Good point.
And then now you can't buy guns or protect yourself or anything.
Because somebody else doesn't like you. Oh, hey, Nick's going to pee. Do you mind if I...
Go nuts, man.
I'm going to keep reading this stuff. Yeah, I got a... yeah, perfect. I only got a couple things left, so that's perfect. Hit it.
All right, cool, man.
And we'll do our closing thoughts after.
Sweet. Sorry about this.
No, that's perfect timing, too.
All right.
No, it's good. So, beginning January of 2018, individuals and businesses will be required to obtain a one-year permit to sell ammo. So now they've got to be permitted to sell ammo. We're going to talk about the word permit here in a second. By July 2019, ammo dealers will have to check with the Department of Justice to make sure that the buyer is not a prohibited person. And then the seller reports the details of the purchaser and the purchase to the Department of Justice. So anytime that you're going to go buy ammo, the person that you're buying from has to be licensed, and they have to report to the Department of Justice who you are and how much of what caliber ammo you bought. Yet we think we're free. In January of 2018, internet and out-of-state sales must take place through a licensed dealer. Now, the previous laws after San Bernardino were set up in such a way that after July of 2019, no individuals bringing ammo into the state would be allowed. It had to be delivered to a licensed ammunition dealer. Now, that law still stays the same, but it's sped up. Now it's January 1st of 2018, like all the other regulations. Now, as of January 1st, 2018, no individuals can bring ammo into the state. They must be delivered to a licensed ammo dealer and thus be reported to the Department of Justice. if you are have been found guilty of a firearm theft over $950, it used to be a misdemeanor. Now it's upgraded from a misdemeanor to a felony and up to 3 years in state prison and the inability to own a firearm for 10 years.
That's fucking lame, man.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I just came back from taking a pee. But, like, for example, a buddy of mine went to go buy a gun, went through the whole fucking thing, did all that shit, right? It's going to get delivered. I'm buying this, you know, just for going out and shooting out in the fucking desert and having fun, right? Because he had a DUI 3 fucking years ago. A DUI. He can't fucking buy the gun. They won't deliver it to the place.
Really? So that has some bearing because he drank.
He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't get in an accident. Just got pulled over because he had a beer.
For people that don't see why we are so vitriolic about this or passionate, here's the thing. The Second Amendment, it said that your right to keep and bear arms
unalienable
were necessary to maintain a free society, and that those that should not ever, shall not ever be infringed. Now you have to have a permit just to buy ammo. So a permit means
they're infringing the fuck out of us.
You are asking permission from the government to be able to buy. You're saying, hey, boss, can I do this? And then the boss says, yes, you can do this. Or
you gotta
no,
fill out
you
a
can't.
Form and wait 30 fucking days.
Your right to keep and bear arms is gone.
Yeah.
Your right is gone. Now, it's not a right now because you need a permit. The right is gone. See, there's a difference between rights and privileges legally. A right is an unconditional right. Government can't get involved. A privilege is a granted thing based off of permits and permission. So, because now it is permits and permission, your right has been infringed legally. That's why they use the words they use. We got to study law. We got to get into this stuff, people. Do your homework at home and
but what the fuck are we doing to ourselves? Come on.
People are ignorant.
Who is government? Who are the people that grant us this privilege to fucking survive and pay fucking taxes? To who? Other fucking people.
Yeah.
It's us. It's yeah. us.
It's
other fucking people who survive on this fucking planet.
Yeah.
All you want to do is just live. We make it a fucking privilege to go out and go fish. You need a fucking license to go fishing.
Yeah.
To catch a fucking fish that swims. He is a fuck. The fish fucking swims.
You know, like a good analogy to that is like, do you remember? I think it was like, other than Transformers, they had Transformers and they had another toy.
Thundercats.
Thundercats, where all the cats would combine into this big being, right?
A big gay cat, yeah.
What, right?
Yeah.
But. So that's what I like equate government to. Like, it's all of us becoming this big powerful thing that that has the power to do all this crazy shit, but it's made up out of all of us. So wake the fuck up, people, and stop making this monster happen.
I just gotta pay my taxes and do what they tell me to.
So when you hear about the Book of Revelations talk in metaphor and it's saying like a beast, a big beast comes out of the sea with 10 horns, that can only be one thing that it's talking about. It can only be a massive governmental system that could ever be. There's not really a big monster that's going to come out of the ocean, right? Is that not the dumbest thing everybody's heard?
That we let happen.
And we, a lot of
it's
us encourage.
It's our fucking paychecks.
Yeah.
It's our fucking paychecks. It's our votes. And we just sit back and get butt fucked. All goddamn day. Every fucking year.
It's masturbation. We get butt-fucked by ourselves.
If you're into that, I guess. But what?
You gotta have a long dick. You gotta have a long dick.
It's so fucking retarded to me. It's so fucking retarded to me.
No, but you at least... But do you see, like...
Matt, am I fucking going nuts here?
No. What you can see it. You can see the whole process. And you can... But there are so many people that they can't... They don't know enough about the system to be able to see that that's what it is. So it's ignorance that kills a lot of these people. They vote for their personal desires, and they don't understand that those actions have consequences. Those votes and the power that they give a government or the beast has real consequences.
Dude, at a certain point, I mean, there's only so many things a government can't do for you, right? They can't breathe for you, they can't shit for you, and they can't die for you. Or I guess they could kill you.
Dude, look at the Matrix. That right? Sentinel force built
but
up.
But it's just like, is that all you can do? Is breathe in shit?
No. Because eventually...
Breathe in shit, motherfuckers.
If you allow this process to begin, it will end in it breathing and shitting for you. I guarantee it.
Because, I mean, you have to eat to live. But look at the government can control what you eat.
The Matrix is the perfect thing for that. Is literally, like, that guy was in a pod, right? And
yeah,
he was
feeding
being
him.
Fed, and probably his wastes were being taken care of for him, right?
So it's just breathe so your heart could beat, and shit so the shit you eat can you leave.
And you're just some kind of battery being used for energy or something, right? I love the metaphor in that movie as well. But, yeah, it's absolutely... But to people that have done enough study and have woken up enough, they see this train heading right towards us, and they're trying to warn. We're trying to warn everybody here at the Beacon Podcast. We're trying to warn everybody what's coming, and we're doing it. And we're taking a lot of time out of our personal lives to study this stuff and to try to convey it to others. We don't charge anybody. I would not accept a penny. All I care about is that people understand this stuff and spread it. And you know what? Money is not an issue. It's not at
all. And you're better at explaining things than I am. But it seems like a simple concept to me. Don't fuck with people. Freedom is a simple concept to me. But it's like... The people who are the more educated are against weapons and owning guns. Yeah. And it's like,
so what's that teach you?
They probably
about
never
education?
Like had fun and shot a gun before. Like, well,
what's
it's not for bad things.
Education?
You go out and hunt a deer and you have a fucking freezer full of meat for a fucking year, right?
Yeah. Well, that all that means is that the people that are in the schools aren't being taught real shit. They're being taught a socialist system. Which is absolutely true. Another show that we're going to do is on cultural Marxism and how in these schools they're teaching something called critical theory that's derived from the Frankfurt School. If you guys at home want to do a little ahead research into that, you're more than welcome to. We're going to do a show on it. It's called Cultural Marxism.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we I should got my start, book on should... Amazon today.
What's that?
I ordered my book on Amazon. We were talking about it earlier.
Oh,
I can't remember what it was called.
I'm addicted to buying books on Amazon.
What I love about that is they keep giving you more information. Like, oh, if you like this book, you'll like this book. You know?
Yeah.
Amazon's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Except if you're buying shit from Japan or China, where the fuck it takes. They're like, yeah, you're gonna get the T-shirt. Who the fuck knows when?
Yeah, but that
this
happens.
Could show up next
it's
summer.
It's easier than you traveling over there to try to get it. It'd take you months.
But I wouldn't have bought it if it was going to be fucking delivered then, you know?
But imagine this. Back in the day, for
you
to get
on a horse.
Silk from China and bring it back to your hometown might take 5 years, you know? And then you bring it back, and you're like, hey! And they're like, oh, we love it! You're the man!
And they're like, it's not the 90s anymore. Silk shirts aren't cool.
Now it's like, dude, I had to wait 2 weeks for that shit? Really? Serious? Yeah. You know
I
want to
wear this on Super Bowl Sunday.
Technology is crazy the way
it's great.
What it's doing.
I love it.
All right, Nick. Closing thoughts. I'm gonna close this off with... I'm really going to close this off hard with a song... And then Bill Cooper, we've already played this clip before, but I'm just going to do him without the music I put behind it before. And it's him talking about the seriousness that we need to take owning our guns. And everybody needs to take it very, extremely serious. It's the most serious thing almost ever. Really. And I'm not much of an extremist kind of person. I try to be level-headed and do my due diligence with my research. But really, that's as far as I can find and assess, our ability to remain free and thus perhaps influence the world's freedom hinges on our ability to defend ourselves. That's how important that this thing is. So any closing thoughts? Are you going to sign this contract with Donald Trump?
No, fuck that guy. My closing thoughts are, first, thank you for downloading the show. That didn't sound right. Downloading.
Let me grab it. I'll grab the card.
But all I want to say is we don't live in a racist society anymore. Okay. One would like you to believe that we're more separated than we ever were. We are human beings, and I think we all just want one thing, to be left alone, to be free, and promote that with your fellow people. That's all I'm saying. Like, we're fucking human beings. We don't need a government to tell us what's right or wrong. We know what's right or wrong.
And now we can all intercommunicate instantly. The days of actually really needing a functioning government are really diminishing. So the fact that it has so much power right now is really like an insult to us and our potential and our capabilities.
Thank you. So don't forget, you all have a voice. We have the internet. You could use it. They're trying to get rid of our First Amendment rights. Of course they're trying to get rid of that. Utilize yourself. Use the media any way you can. Utilize Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Get your voices heard because it matters. And we love that you download, and we love that you listen, and we love hearing from you guys. Thank you. I will pass this to Matt to close this off. But let's keep America free, okay? Let's not deal with stupid shit anymore. We're all human beings. We can think for ourselves.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please check us out on some of our other venues. Obviously, if you're listening to us, then you probably found us on iTunes. But we're also acceptable. You can find us on other podcast apps. If you have an independent podcast app, like Overcast or even your Android platforms, either search for the Beacon Podcast. Or enter, if they ask you to enter an URL, enter feeds.feedburner.com/TheBeaconPodcast. That's feeds.feedburner.com/TheBeaconPodcast. If you don't have a podcasting app, all you have is a computer or something, just in your browser window where you would type google.com or apple.com or whatever, type www.thebeaconpodcast@blogspot.com and you'll have our blog show up with all of our shows that are fully playable right on your PC. Easy. You can find us on iTunes. We're now on Stitcher. We did an application process through Stitcher. We got accepted. We are on Stitcher. Just search for the Beacon Podcast. We're the only Beacon Podcast on Stitcher.
Really?
Yes. So
we should talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot of other Beacon podcasts that are like religious.
There's the Beacon Podcast or Beacon Podcasts that are like religious. Ours is the Beacon Podcast, and it has the graphic with the Earth, the Moon, and the circle and the square, which we're going to get into when we start talking about the mystery schools. But you can find us on Facebook at the Beacon Podcast. Just look for the Beacon Podcast and we'll come right up. Twitter, our handle is @BeaconPodcast. And if you want to email us at thebeaconpodcast@gmail.com. These are all ways that you guys can contact us. If you have any ideas or you have any questions about certain things that are going on in American society, the law, the world geopolitics, I would even say religion. We can handle a lot of these. We've done a lot of research, and our goal is to find truth. So if we don't have an answer, we'll look into it, and we may make a show out of it. But we need you guys to contact us.
Yeah, so if you want to talk shit or you want to show some love, hit us up. Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. We love you.
Black ocean, cold and dark. I am the hungry shark, fast and merciless. But the only girl who could talk to him just couldn't swim. Tell me what's worse than this. And the echoes in the halls, they dance along the walls. The memories of your bones. You were the one that I used to love, and I'm still in love, and I never loved you the most. I've seen better days, so afraid in my youth. I can't breathe, restless belief. Give me everything you have, every little thing you have. World is still the best, but now my best, I am the worst. It's a curse, your eyes are loud and pain. Black tears don't hide in rain, and I tied you to the tracks. When I turned around, I heard the sound, I hit the ground, I know there's no turning back. I've seen better days, so afraid in my youth. Well, the only girl that could talk to him, she couldn't swim. Tell me what's worse than this. What's worse is all the coke, the ice that numbs my throat. If only for the night, my muscles will contract, your bones will crack. It's just a fact, cause I am here to win this fight. I can't fucking breathe, much less believe the truth.
Just a little reminder, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you are duly reminded that when they take this country down, they will do it on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Easter, or the 4th of July. The goal will be to catch all patriots at home, full of turkey, stuffed with an Easter ham, maybe. Maybe a few drinks under their belt, sleepy, lounging on the couch or in the chair watching some football game, caught unawares with their pants down. Understand? Get my drift. I've been warning you about this every year. No one knows the date they intend to implement their world government plan, but in effect, it's already in place. All they have to do is make sure that it is secure and reveal it openly to the public of the world. The only thing standing in their way are the patriots in the United States of America who keep and bear arms. Never, ever give up your guns. Never, ever give up your guns. I want to give special thanks to the people in California who, to date, with the deadline just a few days away, have only turned in about 350 of the newly outlawed so-called assault weapons. Three cheers for the gun owners in California. Don't turn in your guns no matter what. And if they come to your door to get them, give them to them bullets first. Give them all your bullets first, and when they've taken all your bullets, then you can give them your gun. And I hope you know what I mean by give them your bullets. Shoot the bastards. Shoot them. Don't ever give in to tyranny. Don't bow to their Marxist New World Order. Don't give up what all the men who have fought for liberty and for the Constitution and all the history of this country died for. Don't make their deaths worthless. Don't give up the ship. And remember, you can never be free unless you're willing to die for it. You can never be free if you are tied to material possessions. You can never be free unless you love freedom and are willing to pay the ultimate price, if that price is demanded by God, and that is to give up your life in defense of it. And remember that if you cannot stand fast, if you do not have the courage, the bravery, if you don't have what it takes to fight the battles, your children, and their children's children will live in slavery. When you look at your family and say you love them, how much do you love them? Do you love them enough to die for their freedom? Or are you just another bullshit artist? Are you thankful for what you have, that all those who've defied, died in defense of the Constitution and of this country have made possible for us to enjoy? Are you thankful for that? If you are, then give thanks for it tomorrow.